hear the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 18. Speaking of Jesus, He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Thy words were found, O Lord, I did eat them. They were a joy and a rejoicing to my heart. Would you join me once again in prayer? Father, we thank you for this, your word. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds, that we would behold wondrous things. We pray that you would be pleased to give your blessing in our lives from this, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes we think we already know everything there is to know about a familiar story. But sometimes there is more, or it is worth reflecting upon the familiar story to see the implications. I want to call your attention to this familiar parable. First of all, I want to talk about what I would call the problem. And Jesus tells us, and Luke records it this way, and very succinctly in verse 9, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Grammatically, it's just two ideas, but it's easier to treat it in three parts. First of all, they trusted in themselves. They regarded themselves as righteous, and they treated others with contempt. And if you want to have the idea of what this looks like, Jesus gives the parable to illustrate this attitude. Listen to the prayer of the Pharisee and see those issues expressed. He says, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get." You see, he trusted in himself. He regarded himself as righteous. "I don't do these bad things. I do these good things." And not only did he trust in his own actions, his own righteousness, but because of that, he treated others with contempt. He says, "I thank you, I'm not like this tax collector." Can you see him, we would say, looking down his nose, treating with contempt and disrespect this tax collector? That's the problem that we have. You all know that already, don't you? As soon as I read the words that there was a Pharisee in Jesus' story, you already had some preconceived notions of the self-righteous Pharisee. But I want to ask you, do you think this is ever a problem for anybody other than the Pharisees? You see, it's easy to talk about those terrible Pharisees because they existed back in the time of Jesus. But do you think that this problem might apply beyond that particular specific group known as the Pharisees in Jesus' day? Could it possibly even be a problem among the people of our day? People who are religious people today, even those in the church. You know, Jesus was talking to the crowd, but His disciples were there. Do you think He wanted them to learn something and to beware of this attitude? Is it possible that sometimes we in the church, who know that we're not saved by our works, still can be rather smug and self-satisfied and dismissive of other Christians? We see others and we can list their sins, real sins. By the way, the tax collector probably was a man who had faults in his life. That's why he's saying, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." So there are people with faults, but are we dismissive of them? Do we look down upon them? Do we, at least in our mind, treat others with contempt because we think we're better than they are? We perhaps can be so sensitive to our good motives and our good intentions and all of our excuses, so sensitive to what we feel others do in not showing respect and tenderness and care and love. We say, "Oh, how dare them treat me that way? I'm special. My mother told me so." And by the way, my children smile at this, but maybe you haven't heard the story. My children love to tease me about something in my baby book. Isn't that terrible? If they would use something in my baby book to put me in my place, but they do it in good humor, so it's all right. My mother wrote the baby book the way they did back 60 plus years ago, as though she were writing it to me. And so she had an outline of my fingers and my little foot and like that, and talked about, "We brought you home," and so on. "You weighed this. We tried to draw the picture, but your toes were wiggly." And then she gave the final evaluation. "Baby John, 8 pounds, 6 ounces, perfect in every way." That's where my children sometimes do gagging motions. But secretly, don't we think of ourselves something that way? And how dare others treat us in less than that? And so we turn that around and we treat them in a way that is not pleasing to God. We regard ourselves not perfect, but substantially righteous and good and with good motives and good intentions. It's those other people. Oh, they may be Christians, but they sure are inconsistent. We're puffed up with ourselves, aren't we? And that's what Jesus is talking about too. But I want to go to the other side. The positive principle, it's easily seen. If we have the Pharisee, then we have the tax collector. And Jesus said that he beat his breast and he prayed. He would not even lift up his head. He beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It seems to me that this is the picture of humility and dependence upon God. We understand the principle. We understand that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. While it may not use those theological words, this is the expression of that. That there's nothing that he saw in himself that would justify him before God. To use the words of the hymn, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It may not be exactly the kind of prayer that we learn in witnessing or in Sunday school, but it has all of the elements. He recognized his sin. He confessed his sin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He believed in the reality of God and God's mercy. He called out in faith upon God. That's what we do. And he knew that that was by grace. There was nothing that he claimed of himself. Be merciful. Mercy has the idea, not that I earned, but just show me your mercy, your grace. He may not have had all of the theological words, but he had the heart. And as one old writer said, it's better to have the heart without the words than the words without the heart. And Jesus gave us this man in a parable that shows the heart of calling out to God for mercy and grace. But I want to tell you something else about this attitude. Here's the principle of humble, dependent, and faith. Is this something that we just get right once in our lives, and that's it? We can chalk it up. We can check that off the list. Oh, yes, I got it right. I said the right prayer with the right attitude, and now I'm saved. And by the way, don't we Presbyterians believe that once saved, always saved? Don't we believe that you're justified once and for all? And so if we get it right once, and then it's taken care of, and then we've got the point of this. Do you think Jesus might have given this principle not just for the beginning of the Christian life, but as a continuing principle of the Christian life? Something that his disciples were to remember all the days of their lives. Instead of blaming others or blaming God, we cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And grow all the days of our lives in the awareness of the greatness of His mercy and grace from the beginning to the end and in the middle. Do you see the importance of that? Certainly it's important for the beginning. It's not enough to just know facts about Jesus. It's calling out in faith, realizing we need what only Christ can do for us. Be merciful to me. I need a Savior. I need Jesus who lived for me and died for me. Oh, I trust Jesus. That humble dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not how many things you know, but it's that humble dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing you need Him and knowing Him as your Savior. How important is that? Do you understand that? Are there children here that need to get to that clearer in their mind? Are there adults here that need to have a clear notion of that humble dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ? But that's not the end of the story. That's one of the reasons we sang this song, Come Ye Disconsolate, is to remind us that it comes into play in so many different ways. What about when we go to God in prayer? You see, the Pharisee was praying. And he was praying this self-righteous, self-trusting, prideful prayer. What is the pattern for our prayer? I think this principle comes into play. A humble dependence upon God. Oh God, I need Your mercy. I need Your grace. That's why do I come to the throne of grace asking You to do for me not what I deserve, but to treat me in mercy. To do for me that which I cannot do for myself. And so as I come to You in prayer, it's not with haughtiness, it's not with self-righteousness, it's with the Spirit displayed here, God be merciful to me. I believe that that would energize our prayer. Instead of just going through the forms and the rituals, to realize our need for God's mercy, to call out to Him. Well, what about when you come to worship? Is that important for worship? What do we do when we come to worship? Is it just saying, well, okay, here I am, preacher, catch my attention if you can. Entertain me if you can, if you dare compete with my favorite cartoon on TV. Or is it with the idea, God, be merciful to me? As I come to worship You, that's my heart's cry, that You would show mercy to me. I need Your mercy. And I worship You with that thought in mind. Wouldn't that animate our worship? Wouldn't that give us a different perspective rather than it's all about me? It's all about my need for what God can do. Oh, there's so many aspects of this. What about our ministry to others? Is it, well, I can do this and I can do that, I can do that. And those poor, benighted other people, they need me to lead them. They need me to set them straight. They need me, they need me, they need me. What a difference it would be to say, God, be merciful to me and allow me to share Your mercy with others. Not because I'm better. Not because I'm good and they're needy. But because You're merciful. Oh, I believe that would make a difference. People can read haughtiness. They can smell haughtiness on Christians like dogs can sense fear. And this would make such a difference if we minister to others, minister to one another, not with a haughty attitude like the Pharisee, but with humble dependence upon God. Oh God, give me Your mercy. So that I might minister to others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or witnessing to others. Oh, they need my witness. That's one way to witness. Or another way to witness is, God, be merciful to me that I might share Your mercy with others. What a difference that makes in the way we pray and worship and witness. And I believe it makes a difference in our spiritual growth. Paul wrote to the Colossians, as you have received Christ, so walk in Him. And he goes on to talk about our walk with Christ, and I believe our growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that we receive Him? By faith. I would say, in light of this passage, it's a humble, dependent faith. And as we receive Him with that humble, dependent faith, that's what we need for growing in the Christian life. Not because we're so good, not because we're so smart, not because we perform so well, but because God is merciful and gracious. What a difference that would make. Oh Lord, I need Your mercy that I may grow. that I might have a deeper awareness of Jesus Christ and what He has done, and the dependence upon Your Holy Spirit to make me over into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that I know everything, even if I've learned the catechism and read the confession of faith. Rather, it's that I need everything. Give me Your mercy and Your grace that I might have Christian life, that I might grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a difference. What a difference this makes. And I think it goes without saying, it makes a difference in our attitude toward one another. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I love the word that an elder in Aliceville, Alabama, told me a long time ago. He said he and his wife Elmer and Lily Mae were babysitting their grandchildren, and they were rambunctious, and at one point Elmer said something to one of the grandchildren, "Don't do this, don't jump on the couch," or something like that. And the grandchild stopped and looked at him, and not sassing, but just as a matter of fact, He said, "You're not anybody's mother." I love that. "You're not. What are you doing giving me this instruction? You're nobody's mother." And Elmer shared that with me with much delight. Sometimes children would say, "Well, you're not the boss of me." Or sometimes they would say, "Oh, some of you," that still happens, huh? "Who died and made you king?" Or, "Who died and made you queen?" Those are the kind of things that children say. But you know, those can come out in our, those ideas can come out in our relation with one another. What a difference it would make if instead of giving the appearance that we think somebody died and made us king or queen, or prince or princess, we're calling out, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." As I relate to my husband, to my wife, to my children, or children as they relate to their parents, or friends, or difficult people, the irregular people in your lives, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And finally, and most importantly, in our relation to Jesus, I believe that Jesus delights to bless. He delights to bless us in all kinds of circumstances. Sometimes when we're not even on the right track, He still wants to bless us. Sometimes when we're not looking for Him, He still wants to bless us. Sometimes when we're just kind of being a little stubborn and peevish, He still wants to bless us. But I think we're most likely to get His blessing. He gives His blessing in all of those situations. And how thankful I am for that. But when He gets us to that place, when we say, "God, be merciful to me," you can be pretty sure Jesus is already at work. And He's getting ready to bless His people. Pray with me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, for Jesus' sake. Thank You for that mercy and that grace in Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that transforming mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Would you stand and receive God's blessing by faith? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. Amen.